Hello and welcome to Pop Vouchers, a pop culture podcast by The Straits Times. My name is Jen Lee. I'm joined, as always, by Yosim Joe.
Hello, hello, hello. This is going to be a very special East meets West episode, right, Jen?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mishmash potluck style episode.
Yeah. Why? Because, well, when we talk about West, we obviously mean the US elections that has been on everyone's mind, social media feeds, like for the past couple of weeks or so. And in case you don't know by now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris won. So they effectively denied Donald Trump a second term in the White House.
Yes. And you'll be wondering, like, what does this have to do with pop culture? Well, a lot of celebs have actually been weighing in, and there's been, like, so many pop culture references, like memes and everything. So we just wanted to highlight a few that caught attention. And on the East side, I have a bit of, like, Asian drama.
Yeah, plenty of drama going down, right?
Yeah.
What's happening, Jen?
There's a bunch of stuff, but I think the one that really stood out in the past 2 weeks was, like, Red Velvet's Irene getting called out for bullying, right? And she had to apologize, and like a lot of Red Velvet's appearances have been pulled. So we'll like go a bit deeper into that and what happened, and just like, you know, our reactions. And Sam Joe doesn't really know what happened, so I'm going to be telling him what happened.
Sorry, I read Swaku, but Red Velvet is in the cake or...
Red Velvet, the K-pop group. Oh. Yo, like what?
I don't know. I only know Blackpink, okay, BTS, Big Bang.
Okay, Red Velvet is a K-pop group. And then like their fans are called Revolus. Like, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the leader is Irene. So she's actually the leader of the group. And she's got into some trouble, so we'll talk about it a bit more later.
All right. So where do we want to start, East or West?
I think we start with West, right? I mean, US elections is the thing, right? Come on, it's the thing.
Yeah, it's the thing. And I think that, you know, it kind of like stretched on for a lot longer than a lot of people expected.
Yeah, it's like, it's
expected.
Election week. It's so long.
Yeah, it was supposed to be election night and then became election week. The results took forever to come out because of, like, you know, a lot of mail-in votes. And this was, I think, one of the highest voter turnouts ever in American election history. So a lot of memes, like we said, you know, popped up on social media, and, you know, because the results took forever. And of course, a lot of memes, like, you know, popped up on social media. And one of my favorites, you know, was Sleeping Beauty, you know, Aurora, right? Staring at her phone with crazy eye bags and dark circles. And the caption was like, you know, me waiting for US election results.
Yeah, it's so long. It took super long.
Yeah, and speaking of taking forever, Nevada was one of the states, right? You know, in the US, he had 6 electoral votes, which Biden really needed to win. I think at some point he had 264 electoral votes.
The 264 was there forever. Like, I was on the Guardian page and 264 was there for like 3 days or something.
Yeah. Electoral college votes. Sorry, I beg your pardon. So he needed 6 more to win. But it was such a prolonged wait. So a lot of memes were spawned.
Nevada took forever.
Yeah, so there were a lot of memes out there that basically took the Mickey out of Nevada for taking its own sweet time. You know, one of my favorites was they had a caption, you know, we all know who's been counting the votes in Nevada, and then it was accompanied by a picture of, I think it was Mr. Bean.
Okay, no. So I have to correct you. It's not Mr. Bean. It is the guy who plays Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson. But it is Rowan Atkinson in Love Actually.
Oh.
I remember because in Love Actually, there was a scene where Alan Rickman is trying to buy a gift, I think for like, not his mistress, but definitely like a woman that was outside of his marriage that he had, like, he, I guess, wanted to get with or something. So he was like very shady in the buying of it, and he was trying to get the buying of the gift over really, really quickly. But Rowan Atkinson was like, do you want it gift wrapped? And then Alan Rickman was like, sure. And then he took forever. He was like putting flowers, sprinkles, the dried flowers, and then like, ooh, put some perfume into the package. And then Alan Rickman was just like, can we do this a bit quicker? And it just like took forever. It was hilarious.
He wanted to be subtle, but Robert Atkinson was giving him over the top.
Yeah, over the top service. It was just like gift wrapped. And then he just like went all out.
I love it. And then another funny meme also was, you know, Rose from Titanic, right? The 1997 movie with Leo DiCaprio.
Yes,
and
I maintain that there is enough space on that that cabinet that Rose survived on.
She didn't need to let him die, right?
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. Anyway, if you watch the movie, you get to the end, you know that, you know, Rose eventually survives, and she says something like, it's been 84 years, and she recounts like this tale many years ago.
It's like old Rose, it's like old lady.
So the meme was basically old Rose saying it's been 84 years, and the caption was, when Nevada finishes counting. So that was quite funny. And speaking of finishing counting, there was also one, I mean, quite a few people, including actress Liz Jenkins, right? They used this classic song, Back at One by Brian McKnight. I'm not sure. Do you know the song, Jen?
No.
It's the one that goes like, one, you're like a dream come true. Two, just wanna be with you. Three, girl, it's plain to see that you're the only one for me.
This feels very 90s.
Yeah, but basically it's very slow counting. One, two, three. And then obviously it was like, this is how Nevada counts ballots. Mm-hmm. So that was quite hilarious. And of course we had, you know, quite a few states turning blue. For those of you who may not know, like blue, you know, stands
Democratic,
for Democrats,
yeah.
And red stands for Republicans. So quite a few states, you know, this time turned blue. We had Pennsylvania, we had Wisconsin, we had Michigan, Arizona. Mm-hmm. So there was this one meme that, you know, was a clear Star Wars reference. It had Adam Driver as Kylo Ren in Star Wars. And the caption was Pennsylvania last night. Then it's him with the red lightsaber. And then Pennsylvania this morning, he had a
blue lightsaber.
Exactly.
Yeah. I saw another one that was really funny. It was Endgame. It was like a scene from Endgame. Everybody remembers this. I still remember everyone cheered at this scene at the cinema. Thanos was on the verge of killing Thor. Like, he was pressing down the Thor. And then Thor was like resisting, but like clearly like he could not hold out any longer. And then suddenly like they took the shot of Thor's hammer shaking, like shivering. If you know Avengers, you know that no one else other than Thor has been able to wield the hammer. And then it shakes. And then you see it go right straight for Thanos. And then it goes right back into the hands of Captain America. Woo! Yeah. So it was like Captain America. It was like the... I can't remember. I think they put like Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan or something. So like, it was like on the verge of losing. And then like, they come in with the extra votes.
Right. Then coming in and dealing the final blow. Right.
Yeah. Also, some celebs kind of got caught up in the whole thing. Like, I think a few weeks back, Chris Pratt was like... the internet was just like, Chris Pratt is the worst Chris. But like, Chris Pratt has been the worst Chris for a while, but it kind of sort of blew up recently because if you don't know, there are four Chrises in Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. So three of them are in the Marvel Universe. So there's Hemsworth, Evans, Pratt, who are in the Marvel Universe. And then there's Chris Pine, my favorite, who is in the Star Trek universe and Wonder Woman. So he's more DC than Marvel. Then like, I think Chris Pratt got dragged because Chris Pratt was like, you know how a lot of celebs in the lead up to the election was like, vote, vote, it's so important to vote, exercise our civil rights, you know, exercise our civic duty, you know, we mm-hmm. should do this, blah, blah, blah. So a lot of celebs were saying that. And then like Chris Pratt like posted a whole thing about how you need to vote, it's super important to vote. And then he went for, and what he wanted people to vote for was for Onward for Family Movie of the Year. Or else you will die. No hyperbole.
Oh my god. So he actually used it to plug his movie.
Yeah, he was trying to get people to vote for Onward for People's Choice Award. Like for Family Movie of the Year. So everybody was just like, are you seriously like mocking people for asking other people to vote? Like, are you not reading the room? Like clearly this election has been one of the most divisive and most important and like, I guess like nerve-wracking for Americans like in the longest time, right?
Yeah.
And then he comes in here and is like, vote for Onward or you will die. And people are just like, dude, this is super tone deaf.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you
he
know,
probably thought it was humorous because he knew everyone was saying vote, vote, vote. So he was like, vote for,
yeah.
And then plot twist my movie.
But it's just like, it's super like not reading the room right. Mm, so like,
sure.
Of course he got dragged. And like, there's other stuff too. Like Chris Pratt has always been the least, I think, politically outspoken amongst the Chrises. Or at the very least, I think he has like sort of like views that I think a lot of people can't really agree with. Like he goes to a church that supports conversion therapy or something for like, you know, homosexual individuals. He hunts, so like he kills animals, right?
Okay.
He hunts, like things like this, you know, like gun toting, kind of like all American dude kind of thing that I think turns some people off. So people are like, he's the worst Chris. And then like for some reason, his Marvel castmates got up to defend him, and like Mark Ruffalo, like Robert Downey Jr. So Mark Ruffalo was like, he's just not overly political as a rule. Like they were like, why are you asking him to make a stand? You know, why are you asking him to be progressive? Like he's just not overly political as a rule. And then people got even more upset because they were like, it's super privilege to be able to not be overly political. Like to detach yourself from politics means you are at a position of privilege, right? That is like, yeah, it doesn't matter what. No subsidized healthcare.
Right.
Don't need what I have money, you know. No workers' rights. It's okay what I can don't work for the rest of my life. You know, like it is a level of privilege that you have to not be to not care about politics, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Are we being too harsh on him? I mean, are those people being too harsh on him? You actually agree what they say?
I think, yeah, I agree with it. I also think, like, he shot himself in the foot, lah, with the onward thing. Right. Like, just keep quiet, right? Like, it doesn't hurt you to shut up. Like, I don't know why he felt the need to do that. But, yeah, you know, I also think, like, people in general, especially younger people, like, they sort of, there's a trend, like, I think, especially in younger
celebrities?
No, like younger audiences, that they want their celebrities to align with views that they have. Like, they are looking for celebrities who have share the same values for them. So I think, like, you know, especially nowadays, you see, like, the TikTok crowd, you know, like the K-pop, you know how the K-pop fans booked out a Trump stadium, you know, that kind of thing. They're very politically engaged. So maybe that's why they are a bit like, I don't want celebrities who pretend like they don't have a view on things.
You're right. Nowadays, like, audiences are a bit more critical in terms of, like, who they idolize. They want to, it's not just, they're not just looking at their craft or their you know, say, movie or, like, music output. They're looking also what they stand for, the values that they align themselves with.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a lot of people can't really, you know, defend Chris Pratt on this one.
I guess.
The poor guy.
Yeah.
Oh, well. All right, now, if you're enjoying this episode of Pop Vulture so far, do find us on the Straits Times podcast channels. We have Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, we have Spotify. Some of our episodes are also on YouTube, so check those out and don't forget to like and rate us. All right, back to our show. At this point, we just want to say that one of our pop culture references earlier completely flew past our podcast assistants here. So we have two assistants with us, our colleagues, Firman and Adam.
Yes.
They don't know what love actually
is. They don't know what love actually is, guys. So wait, I'm like shocked. I was like, I was talking about Love Actually the whole time and you guys had no idea what I was talking about.
They were, like, nodding politely and like,
And I was like, hello, you've never heard the song, like, I feel it in my fingers, I feel it in my toes, then Christmas is all around us. Like,
okay, never mind. It's fine. And this is why Pop Vultures is a safe space, and it's all about us learning about pop culture together. For our younger listeners out there, including Firman and Adam,
Love Actually is. Love Actually is a Christmas movie. It's a British Christmas movie, and it's like one of those movies that does, like, a different storylines all tie up together eventually. So there's, like, different couples, different people that feature in the movie, and then at the end, right, at the last scene of the movie, they all come together. Like, you realize that they are all linked in some way, and then, like, it had a lot of British stars before. Some of them when they were very famous, some of them before they got famous. So there was, like, Keira Knightley, Hugh Grant, there was Martin Freeman as a porn actor before he got famous in Sherlock, there was Andrew Lincoln before he got famous in The Walking Dead. Like, there was a bunch of people. And
there was Alan Rickman before he was in Harry Potter as Professor Snape.
Yes.
Yeah, rest in peace. There was...
I think it's not before he was Snape.
Was it? It was 2003, though.
It was about the time he became Snape.
About the time, okay.
And, like, yeah, guys, it was a very, very problematic movie, but I have very fond memories of it, despite it being a deeply problematic movie.
Yeah, till this day, it's still... I mean, Christmas is coming up, and till this day, it's actually quite a Christmas staple. A lot of people...
It's a Christmas staple.
...rewatch the movie on Christmas.
Yeah, it's definitely a Christmas staple.
Anyway, long story short, go check out Love Actually, guys.
Yeah.
Okay, on to Asia, all right? We have a lot of Asian drama going on recently. Jen is our live correspondent and she's reported on, like, a lot of these events.
Yes, I'm like the K-pop person.
She is the K-pop, like, aficionado in the newsroom here. So, okay, tell us what's been going
down. So there's, like, a bit of K-pop drama, right, over the last 2 weeks. So there's a lot of stuff, but today I wanted to focus on, like, the biggest scandal, I think, the past 2 weeks is Red Velvet's Irene.
Mm-hmm. Red Velvet, the K-pop band,
not the cupcake flavor, not the cake flavor. So Irene is the leader of Red Velvet. And then, basically what happened was there was this fashion editor/stylist person who went on Instagram and, like, just posted wrote a post about how she was reduced to tears by a female idol who basically, like, took 20 minutes to just, like, lash out at her and verbally attack her. And she felt very deeply disrespected, like, because she had been in the industry for 15 years and she has never suffered anything like this. So she was very upset, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she, at the end of the post, she tagged Psycho and tagged Monster, #Psycho, #Monster.
Mm.
Psycho and Monster are the names of two songs that Irene has released in a subunit under Red Velvet. So Irene and Silgi, another member of Red Velvet, they came out and they did like a sort of like EP, mini album type thing on their own.
Where it's just the two of them.
Where it's just the two of them. It's actually a really great, like, I actually really like some of the songs on it. But so basically she tagged that and then everybody was like, oh my god, is she talking about Irene? Because right. And the reason why people don't say it's Silgi is because Silgi has a very, very, very good reputation in the industry as like a very polite, very like proper, decent person. So like everybody was like, is she talking about Irene?
Right.
And then like,
must be lah, right?
Yeah, and then she actually said like she has voice recording or something of the incident. And
she got receipts.
Like, yeah, she got receipts apparently. So immediately, right, like very soon after this thing came out, I think in like one day, Irene apologized. She basically was like, I behaved in a careless manner. And then SM Entertainment, which is the big K-pop agency that also like owns Red Velvet, right, that manages Red Velvet. So they also came out to apologize and said she was immature, she didn't behave in a manner that was becoming, blah, blah, blah. And everybody was like, oh my god, it was totally Irene. And like, obviously, you know, like the thing is, you don't apologize unless something, like unless you did something wrong, law, honestly, right? Like, mm-hmm. What's the point of apologizing if there is no evidence that you ever did this to a person?
Right. So what exactly did she do that made
the
editor or fashion stylist cry?
The audio never came out. Uh-huh. So she, because I think what the person wanted was just an apology. And I think the company was spooked by the fact that she might have an audio recording and they just came out and acknowledged it because they didn't want, if like they don't acknowledge it and then the recording comes out and it's even worse for Irene, right?
Right, but now people are just going to wonder and they're not going to stop digging.
They don't know what's going to happen, but basically what it seems like, what they're saying is she was basically very rude to her. Like she took a position of like apparently there was this detail that she held her phone and just like scolded the editor, the stylist person as she was holding her phone and like gesturing her phone towards her. Like, so you can imagine the, think about it, like somebody crossing their arms and doing this and like, you know, talking to you like that and being like very upset with you. And apparently she scolded her for 20 minutes or something like that lah. And the thing was, that post was actually liked by some industry insiders. So it seems like some people have some sort of idea that, yeah, Irene can be kind of mean to others.
Right.
So it seemed like it was like kind of verified in that sense by other people, like corroborated, right?
Right.
But of course, you know, this thing comes out, Irene apologizes. And of course, there are defenders. Like, there are people who have worked with her who say she was always very, very nice to me. She was always very nice to the staff. Like, I've never observed anything bad from her. You know, she was treated us very well. She bought gifts, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, there are fans who come out and defend her and say, you know, she's always been such a great leader to the team. She's been very close to Red Velvet. She takes very good care of them. Like, things like this. And of course, there are malicious, untrue rumors. So some of it, I don't know whether it's true. Like, apparently, there was a Japanese trainee who said, like, who said she trained under SM Entertainment and said, like, Irene used to bully her and Silgi was very nice to her or something like that. And then she deleted the tweet. And we don't know whether it's because it was untrue or because she was being bullied by Red Velvet fans. Then there was, like, obviously, like, untrue stuff that was mixed in with a lot of other rumors about Irene. Like, people saying, oh, she bullied me, she was on this movie, blah, blah, blah. Like, and then it turns out that these people are not legit people. So, like, there's a lot of stuff. But what we know is Irene apologized for scolding a fashion stylist, apparently for, like, 20 minutes. And it was not just that stylist. It was also her and, like, her two staff members.
Mm-hmm.
And they have since received an apology from her. Lah. And this thing technically is over because the stylist has said, I'm not going to say anything more about this. Mm. I've done what I've done. I wanted to get an apology from her. I got it. Yeah, I'm done. This is the last thing. This is the last thing I would say on this publicly.
Okay.
And then, so it's technically over. But the reverberations are huge because Red Velvet has been pulled from a lot of promotions. Like, they've been pulled from... I think Irene was the face of Clinique.
Uh-huh.
And you can't really find pictures of her anymore.
Oh.
They have been pulled from, like, shows where they were performing. And then their performances were cut. And then, like, the TV station say, oh, we just, like, didn't have time to fit them in. Which, like, come on lah. Red Velvet is one of the biggest K-pop groups. It's like Blackpink twice Red Velvet, right?
Mm.
Like, they're one of the biggest K-pop groups and then you say you don't have time to fit them in. Like, it's very clearly it's because of Irene. So there are people who are saying, should she quit the group so that the group can still continue on a healthy manner and like they won't be dragged down by her?
When you're a part of a group, right? As long as there's one black sheep, the whole group gets dragged down. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, this is cancel culture all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, and like, okay, so the thing is, I think, personally, I think, like, she apologized. So clearly she did something wrong, right? I think that it's very clear that she did something wrong. And people who are out here saying, she was very nice to me, she bought me gifts, it's like the Ellen DeGeneres thing all over again. Like, yeah, people can be nice and mean at the same time. Like, two things can be true. She can both be very, very nice to staff A, or maybe an entire team of people, and have been very mean to another person. And even if she was like in a bad mood, and that was the only day she ever flared up at someone, she still flared up at someone. Like, she still did something wrong, right? So there's no need to overly defend her, which is something that I observe in a lot of fans. Like, they feel the need to sort of make excuses and or sort of say like, yeah, she did something wrong, but she apologized. She is still our leader forever. We still love her. And, you know, you guys shouldn't be like jumping in and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like, Just like, leave it a little bit. Like, you see this tendency in fans to sort of like really defend the idols that they love. Like, I've seen it before. Look, I've written articles about Seungri, and I get hate mail about people. But I get people who tell me that I'm being biased about Seungri, that I don't know anything about him.
Seungri from Big Bang.
Seungri from Big Bang, who had like a whole like scandal like regarding like illegal activities at his club, like sex deals, blah. There's a lot of stuff, okay?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, people feel the need to defend, like, idols so strongly. And I feel like, guys, she did something wrong. She said she did something wrong. Like, just let her shoulder the burden of that. Like, she's 29 or something. Like, she's almost 30. She's a full-blown adult. You do not need to make excuses for her and say maybe she was in a bad mood. She was always so nice to other people. Like, so many people are coming up to say that she was always nice to them. Why don't y'all believe those good things? It's like, let her take what she has to take, you know? Like, right. I think that's the healthy way to support an idol, which is that when they do something wrong, you're like, yes, you did something wrong and you have to shoulder some consequences for it. But, you know, when you have, you know, processed that, when you have acknowledged that, and when you have atoned for whatever things that you were deemed to have done wrong, then we are still here for you, you know? But there are so many people who would just jump up immediately and say, oh my God, how can you say this about her? Blah, blah, blah. And like, she's our favorite, she's the best, blah, blah, blah. Like,
that kind of blind faith in their idol, like,
yeah,
you know, and
like,
just like disregarding the evidence that is placed before them. I get that. But I also think that when such conflicts, as long as they surface on social media, once it's in the social media realm, you know, it becomes a kind of like a theatre, a performance, you know. So there will always be two sides of the camp, or even three or four sides, depending on how many people are involved. You know what I'm trying to say? And, I mean, fans are fans at the end of the day, you know. This Irene definitely has, you know, left such a deep impression.
She has like 7 million followers on Instagram. So she's not like, yeah,
she's popular. People love her. People like idolize her. We get it. You can't really stop them from jumping to the defense. I think it's more of like just for them to show solidarity. It's one thing for them to deny that she's ever done anything wrong, but it's another thing to say that, okay, you know, she's apologized, just leave her alone, you know? I think it's just their natural instinct as fans. Like, I wouldn't hold it against them so much. I don't know. I feel like, if it happened to you, right? Like, you know, or if it happened to your family member, for instance, you will also want to give them that opportunity to rehabilitate and to bounce back. You know what I'm trying to say?
I guess. And I think it's also like, I think people don't understand how big of a deal this sort of stuff is in South Korea. So it's called like gapji, I think. If I'm pronouncing it right?
Kapjil. What does that mean?
It just means like when somebody is in a position of power or authority and they use it and they leverage over someone else to like bully somebody else. So like, think peanut rage, right? That's the classic example.
Yeah.
So it's super sensitive for South Koreans because South Koreans know this. Like, they see it happen in life. They see it happen.
Peanut rage is referring to the daughter.
The Korean heir daughter, the heiress who like threw out an air steward because he served her peanuts or something, or like macadamia nuts that were not open. Like, he didn't open the package and she got super mad at him, asked him to kneel down, you know, that kind lah. So Koreans know that positions of power can bring you to situations where they bully people like that. They see other people as subhuman. They see other people as less than because they are not as famous, not as powerful, not as rich as them. So Koreans are very sensitive to this. So I think that's also partially why the Irene saga blew up in this manner. Like, it really is very bad. Like, to Koreans, this is like the kind of thing that they hate the most. So I think like she really stepped on something here, la.
Well, on that note, that's your dose of pop culture for this week. Feel free to tell us what you think, what you want to hear about next. Please write to us at podcast@sph.com.sg or jenlee@sph.com.sg or yosamjoe@sph.com.sg.
You can also slide into my DMs at jenleewrites on Instagram. Tell me, you know, your fave Chris, your worst Chris. Tell me about Red Velvet I read. Tell me why you think Love Actually is a problematic Christmas movie. Everything, man, guys.
Yeah, we would love to hear from you. Anyway, till next time, it's been real. By the way, Jen and I are back in the studio recording and we can actually see each other.
Yeah, this is very amazing. So I'm a bit touched.
Yeah, so if you realize why we, you know, suddenly sound a lot more in sync and a lot more energetic, it's because we can actually see each other and our body language is also, we're reaching out to each other.
Yes, yes.
And it's just great. It's great to see you again, Jen.
Yeah,
and hopefully we'll see everyone again soon.
GDLL.
GDLL.
All right, with that said, he's Sam Joe.
She's Jen.
And this was Pop Vouchers. Thank you for listening. This one very good. This voucher very good.
I bet, yeah.